There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile, brand new week to work with. Hey, y'all. Sean Sullivan, live local talk over the next couple of hours, and we do it all week long. If you miss parts of the show, it's okay, because we make a podcast of this show, and the 40-some-odd hours of live local programming we do a week available for you. A couple different places. You can go straight to the front page of the website, fmtalk1065.com. Click the link for podcast, and get it buffet style there. You find the hour of the show, you know, this show, that hour, and download that to listen to it right there. Or even better yet, you could subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher. You know, iTunes, obviously, for the iPhone fancies out there, and old Luddites like me with the Samsung. You can go to Stitcher. It's a real good place. And believe me, if I beta tested it, it's going to work for you, Stitcher, and you can get those subscriptions right there delivered to your smartphone. Also, a couple other places. I mean, you can go through the TuneIn Radio app, where you already stream the station on your smartphone, get our podcast there. In addition, you can get them if you're jamming your tunes on Spotify. You can also get podcasts on there, and FM Talk 106.5 present there as well. So check us out. All right, lots to do on the show today. Guests coming by. Brendan Kirby joins us. Cameron Smith's going to join us in just a second. And the president, very interesting, as the president taking a flight, flying down to Orlando. I guess he's going to be doing some stumping down there for Governor Scott. And he gets a guest. He gets a guest to take a flight with him. Who's that guest? Rod Rosenstein. Or Steen. Where are we? Have we figured that out? Dalton, I mean, I say Stein. There's people saying Steen. Here's a little update here from Bob Constantini with Westwood One.
Flying on Air Force One with the president, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, whose firing has been long rumored, never actualized.
It will be talking on the plane. I actually have a good relationship, other than there's been no collusion, folks, no collusion. But I have a very good relationship. We'll see.
That's the president speaking with reporters at the White House. A New York Times article 3 weeks ago described Rosenstein as so concerned about the president's mental state, he was wondering if the 25th Amendment should be invoked. Rosenstein vehemently denies the story's portrayal. Bob Costantini, Washington.
All right, so there we go. So Rosenstein denies he ever said that, okay? Then has a flight with the president that I think they were sitting on the tarmac there in Orlando, half-hour conversation. And then here they come. They come out, and everything seems that Rosenstein, if you look at his body language walking with the president, seemed to be pretty good. Pretty good. So, of course, I'm going to bring it back home. You know how I do things. Where does this put you now with President Trump saying, yeah, we're good. We're good. There's no collusion, but Rosenstein and I are good. Those that have been, you know, and the president, one of them, dragging Attorney General Jeff Sessions' name through the mud for all this time. Does that change anything for you, hearing that? The president's had to be. He seems to be. Remember, it was, what was it, last week, Dalton, or the week before, where we had the conflicting stories that either Rosenstein was heading to the White House because he was either had already been fired or he was going to resign. Remember, sources, all these sources that were close to the issue, unnamed sources, right? But he was gone either way, right? It was just whether he had been fired or he was going to go resign. Today, Rod Rosenstein flying on Air Force One with President Trump. President saying everything's swell. The body language of Rod Rosenstein saying the same thing to me. Where do you sit now? It's kind of one of the questions we'll throw at Cameron Smith when he joins us here in just a little bit. Of course, we'll talk about what happened Saturday with the Kavanaugh confirmation and the aftermath of that. Also, I want to give you a couple heads up here. Number one, yes, it is Columbus Day. I don't know what you're we don't celebrate it much around here. There are parts of the country that do. But I'd tell you this, the banks are closed. Now, I got a note here from Mobile County, and I'm sure there's lots of places open. All Mobile County offices, including County Commission, Probate Court, License Commissioner, and Revenue Commissioner, are open today. They are not off. They are open this Monday. But the banks are closed. Now it's a, you know, yes, I would love to have the lineup. I mean, the only people that wouldn't be jealous of the bank holidays would be those members of Congress, right? But banks are closed today, but Mobile County offices are open. So you got that. And we're open, and obviously y'all are open as well. So that's on the way. We'll get into a little bit of discussion at Columbus Day, but Brendan Kirby's going to join me as well to talk about the unemployment numbers, one of those unsung songs that's going on out there. This is to remember unemployment this low, to remember unemployment stats this low, you would have to go back to 1969. That's right. As monthly jobless rate is clocking in at 3.7%. So right now you would have to go back as far as 69, and it's going to be on the, you know, the top list of the top five lowest unemployment numbers going forward in our country. So this is good. We're going to break it down. You know, Brendan, he's a data miner, and he's broken out all this information, and we'll talk about it and talk about those numbers. But then the next question is, does that lead to increase in salary? For some people, it has. I've heard some people say, yeah, to some degree, but somewhat stagnant out there as well. And do you want to do that? Well, I guess we can do it before we go into to get Cameron on. I saw a story. This popped up at over at Drudge, I think. Yeah, it was at Drudge. And it was web traffic race. Web traffic race. So where most people were going on the web, right? This is the last, I think, the last 30 days. So you figure... you would figure with all the traffic for political talk and Kavanaugh and all that stuff that, you know, maybe those online sites for CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, all that would be up. Some of them are. I'll say the first of the political websites is CNN, or you could say news website. CNN over Fox News. Right now in TV ratings, oddly enough, it's quite the opposite. But CNN coming in as the 26th most clicked website out there, and Fox News coming in as the 36th. Dalton, I want to give you a guess here. The top five, well, I'll give you the top five. I can say the top five without getting in trouble. Google number one. Duh. Facebook, number two. Number two most used website, traffic-wise. Number three, YouTube. Okay. Number four, Amazon, mm-hmm. buying stuff. Number five, for some reason, Yahoo.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be anti-Yahoo. I mean, used to use it a bunch, but it's kind of not my go-to.
Right, no.
For a search engine. So Yahoo, number five. Then, one, two, three, four, and five of the next... 10 are porn sites.
No.
look at it. This is where the traffic is going out there. As soon as you get out of the top five, the next one, porn site, the next one, porn site. Oh, then Twitter comes in.
Oh, okay. Which is basically a porn site sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. Then eBay comes in, and then a porn site comes in. Wow. Well, then people go to Wikipedia, probably look up the Wikipedia page for porn sites. then Instagram, then Reddit, which a Reddit founder guy was in town for the 1065 festival.
Lots of porn on Reddit.
Yes, you're right. So that's in a way. Then Craigslist, then Bing.
Wow.
No, people use Bing anymore.
Where'd that come from?
Then porn site. Then ESPN.
Hmm.
Then Walmart. and then a couple banking sites, then a porn site, and then you get to CNN at number 26.
Wow.
So there you go. And then after that, there's a porn site right after CNN. Then you got PayPal, and you go down another 10, you get to Fox News on there. So, oh, Drudge Report coming in at 39.
That's what I was wondering, where Drudge was.
Behind quite a few porn sites. But look at that ranking out there. All right, 1216 FM Talk 106.5. Cameron Smith joins us next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. I tell you what we're going to do as well, because we got goofed up this morning because of a transmitter issue here. We're going to do the win them before you can buy them Jim Gaffigan tickets sometime between now and 2. I was going to give them away this morning, but we'll give them away to now, from right now to 2 o'clock, sometime in that margin. Jim Gaffigan tickets go on sale on Friday. The show coming up May 11th at the Wharf Amphitheater. Give you more details and chances to win coming up in just a little bit. I want y'all to say hello to my buddy Cameron Smith from the R Street Institute and AL.com. What's up, man?
Man, I love Jim Gaffigan. I mean, his skit on Hot Pockets is my favorite.
That's exactly what I rolled with this morning. It's actually what I have queued up right here. This is what we're talking about. If you Cameron Smith just mentioned Hot Pockets, it's this.
Like that was anti-Eskimo.
I'm moving a little slow tonight. I had a Hot Pocket for dinner. Good to see I'm not the only white trash here. I buy the Hot Pockets. I go in grocery stores. I'm like, oh, I'll get these. I've never eaten a Hot Pocket, and then afterwards been, I'm glad I ate that.
Yeah, just a little clip of Jim Gaffigan and his riff on the Hot Pockets. Yeah, so people are going to, he's coming to the Wharf Amphitheater in May. So maybe you get down in our neck of the woods, we'll go to the show.
Sweet.
All right, good deal. Want to talk with you about a couple different items. Obviously, the Kavanaugh, the vote, the nomination, and now a full Supreme Court going to work. But also, I want to talk about, before we get to that, what's just transpired today. So Rod Rosenstein hops on Air Force One with President Trump. They're flying to Orlando. I guess the president's going to do some things in Florida, probably out stumping for Rick Scott, whatever he's doing. So Rosenstein hops on the plane and goes there, and then they sit on the tarmac for some period of time and come out. And the president says, everything's good. The body language for that, what that's worth from Rod Rosenstein, looked like he's pretty comfortable walking with President Trump. And, you know, it was just, 2 weeks ago we were told that he was either being fired or resigning that day. I think it was like on a Monday or something like that. But now everything's swell.
Yeah. Well, welcome to current politics in Trump world. The media has gone full-blown nuts. I don't have any other word to use. I think that, you know, I do value the press. I write an opinion column. I'm on the radio all the time. I mean, I love the press. It's critical to our republic. But the press has basically picked a side. I mean, the press is basically, by and large, I mean, obviously there's anomalies, but like, as largely said, we don't like conservative Republican type things. And particularly with the big national outlets, I mean, Fox has picked a side. Everybody else has picked the other side. The day of the somebody trying to be an honest broker seems to have passed us.
Okay. And the question is, you know, just if you looked at it market-based wise, there doesn't seem to be that. I mean, you'll hear people. I mean, I'll say it. You'll say it. Other people say it. I'm looking for a fair arbiter and honest. But, you know, what the rankings don't show that.
No, people want to be entertained. I mean, and I think that's what would really come out of all of this. And this is unfortunate in the sense that I think we're better off when we sort of eat our vegetables, when we have to, like, look at the other side, when we have to think through things. We don't want vegetables. We want candy all the time. And that's what's happened. We behave like media children. We say, well, we want the outlet that affirms our perspective. We want to watch that one religiously. And it makes us weird. I mean, I've seen that. We saw that with, you know, both protesters and the opposition to the protesters over all this Kavanaugh stuff. I mean, it got weird. I mean, the screaming and weeping and howling. I mean, this is not, you know, this is not a civil war. You know, we are not in a situation where shots are being fired. This is politics. We take votes, and that's the last column I wrote is, we take votes. That's how we decide these things. And if you don't like the outcome, change the elections with votes. That's how it works.
Well, but it doesn't in some degree, right? People, that connection's not there anymore. I mean, it's for some they see there's no other option but the nuclear option every time, right? Every time it is going to the mattresses.
Yeah, and that's weird. I mean, like, my dad used to tell me when I was a little kid, he said, you know, is this the hill you want to die on? You know, is this the argument you really want to dig in? And or is this something where you're putting in an inordinate emphasis, because particularly when you're hurt or you're emotional about something, you put some importance on something that may not actually be there. Hey, this Supreme Court battle was a big one. I get that. I would never suggest that this wasn't
a big deal, because it absolutely was. But the votes are how we sort this out. We can yell and kick and scream and get on cable news and talk about stuff and talk about how the other side is bad all we want. At the end of the day, this is a judgment call for senators. They made that judgment call, and we now have Justice Kavanaugh. I mean, if Democrats had showed up at the polls and elected Hillary Clinton, had said, hey, we're going to take the United States Senate, great. They could have changed this outcome. But the votes were where they were, and the idea that this was not a rational process, that someone couldn't have looked at this and said, hey, I'm rationally going to support this nominee. Just listen to Senator Collins. Her floor speech was a masterclass in, hey, I've looked at what's here, and I'm making a decision. And that's how this has to work. But the left, a lot of progressives, that's not good enough. It is morally wrong to vote Republican. It is morally wrong for Republicans to vote with their constituencies. I just disagree.
Right, but the problem is, in doing that, you're gonna inherit a whole line of things that you are. You're ist this or ism that, right? Just because you said that.
Yeah, and I reject that. I mean, this notion that you cannot rationally support Kavanaugh and have a respect for women at the same time is hogwash. I mean, that's what we're up against, is this notion that if you disagree with the progressives on any count, if regardless of how rational and thoughtful your argument is, then you are the enemy, you are a bigot, you are against, pick whatever demographic they say you're against. And I'm tired of that. I mean, and I'm somebody that tries to call balls and strikes like you do, but I feel it. I feel I've had people hammering me for saying, hey, I just have a different way of looking at this than you. I want to ask some questions. When I knew that I was really starting to feel it was when I was asking questions about some of the accusers of Kavanaugh. Questions. I was not accusing them, attacking them. I was asking about their allegations, what had been corroborated, what had not. And folks were coming out and just laying haymakers saying, how dare you? How dare you not be sympathetic to victims and survivors? And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. She's made an allegation. I'm trying to figure out whether it's true or not, or what level of credibility to give it. The fact I wasn't even allowed to have that thought process, to me, says this isn't about a rational exchange anymore. This is purely, we think you're the bad guy if you have anything to do with these folks, and I'm just going to push back on that.
Okay. Yeah, well, and I'm glad you are pushed back as well. But the question you see, it's the title or the working title of so many editorials that have been up since last week. That where do we go from here, right? And my question is exactly that, because I've not seen a negative beachhead established in politics that has been pulled back from. You know what I'm saying? It usually becomes the new normal.
Sure. And I think there's some of that, but I mean, I keep looking at the votes. Like, that's what keeps striking me, as we're going to sort this out. If Democrats show up at the polls in the midterms and take the House, guess what? They have the process available to them to do all kinds of oversight into the administration. They can tie the administration up in knots. That's well within their purview. If they take the Senate and they want to start blocking nominees and not giving their consent, they can do that. There's a lot of available options. The recourse to that, if what they do Americans don't like, they can vote them out. And I really keep coming back to that. As long as that process is there and it's available to us, then that's ultimately how this gets sorted out. As far as the tone and the civility and things like that, people just have to decide they're going to do that. They just have to say, I'm going to reject this garbage I see on TV where it's war all the time. I don't know about you, Sean. I'm worn out. I'm tired of all the yelling and kicking and screaming. I have friends who are Democrats. I have friends who are disappointed right now. They're still my friends, and I'm going to treat them well.
You know, one of the things that, and I know I sound like a broken record through this whole process, but, you know, the fact that, and I look at the comments you had on your story over at AL.com, your editorial, immediately you have to defend a question about sexual assault. And if we go back into this, didn't Brett Kavanaugh deny being there? I mean, this kind of splitting hairs on what is assault and what's not assault, it's like, we're talking about a subject that's not even the subject. The subject was he there or not? He denied being there.
Yeah, and I mean, my sense is we have a criminal process for sorting these things out. I mean, if indeed there, the statute of limitations on some of these crimes that are alleged of Brett Kavanaugh is not run. I mean, there's no statute. And so they could absolutely pick this up and run with this if there were evidence and corroboration and things that people could go on. The fact that Dr. Ford's not going to press the issue anymore, I mean, all right. I mean, that's how that process should work. Now, people don't like that. They don't like this notion that, like, things happen and there's not enough for a prosecutor to go on, so therefore injustice. Well, I don't look at it that way. I mean, if there's prosecutorial misconduct, if there's something that someone did along the process that was wrong, that denied justice, fine. But the notion that this just came out and that folks looked at this and said, hey, there's not enough for us to run with, I like these processes. This is how this is supposed to work.
Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:36, FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on this Monday, talking with our buddy Cameron Smith from AL.com and the R Street Institute. I want to read this this text I got during the break. Got a couple of them here, but this one, why don't conservatives have an outlet for political satire? Liberals have SNL, The Daily Show, Bill Maher, Seth Meyers, Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert, etc. Which, by the way, did you see this writer for Colbert who said, whatever happens, I'm just glad we ruined Brett Kavanaugh's life. At least that's the allegation here. That's the kind of stuff that Cameron, you're talking about, that makes me sick. But I would point out to folks that while they failed at liberal talk radio, it failed, fell on its nose. Maybe the province of comedic of satire by its nature is from the left. I don't know. I don't know that there'd be a show. If somebody came out and said, we're going to do a show branded as a conservative comedy show, I wouldn't be real interested. If they came out and said, here's a very funny show, oh, and then you find out those people happen to be conservative, then I'd probably be more into it. But I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, we have some of those things. I mean, years ago, I mean, Home Improvement was pretty conservative. I mean, you know, we've had funny stuff. Honestly, though, I hear this a lot. I mean, I hear people say, well, why don't conservatives do humor? And I'm like, have you seen our people? I mean, we do anger super well. Like, we do funny, like, not so well. And there's something to be said for that. I mean, conservatives, sometimes are a little more stiff. I think the next generation of conservatives that is actually more libertarian is going to change that. I do see that happening. But we see this in the media. I mean, I think part of the problem is that if you look at education and you look at where conservatives go into things like business school. Conservatives usually don't say, you know what, I want to be a journalist. I want to starve. I want to be a reporter. I want to, you know, do something creative. I want to go into art. I don't know if there's like a brain type that makes for differences, but I just know that a lot of the creative types tend to be very progressive. And I know some conservatives that are in that school, but
yeah,
a lot of times that's not how they self-select.
Yeah, that is true. And so maybe that answers the question, at least starts many more questions with it. All right, but going forward here, so Kavanaugh goes to work tomorrow, I guess, walks in first day, and will he be allowed to, like, I know they started last week, will this mess up any, will he just be able to pick up as it goes, or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, they have a number, and you can Google this, but there's a number of responsibilities and things that go to the youngest Associate Justice. Gorsuch was that very briefly, so I'm sure he'll be happy to hand off some of those responsibilities to Justice Kavanaugh. He should pick up where, you know, they jump kind of right into the stream. I mean, obviously needs to make sure that he's heard the arguments, that he's in on the cases. I mean, if those arguments have already been heard, then he probably won't be in on those cases. But it's the normal business as usual. Sometimes when a judge, when a lower court judge goes to the Supreme Court, if they've already weighed in on a case, that sort of thing, then they would typically recuse. But that's about the only thing that, you know, we might see with Kavanaugh. And I haven't looked at the docket to see if he's got anything up that he's already decided.
I just wondered if he was going to get, you know, how much work he was going to get done before he would be impeached, right? I mean, you've got, like you talked about in your piece, the vitriol coming from the left on this. I mean, Kamala Harris out there saying that, what, the truth is going to come out, and then you have people saying, well, we'll get the people in there to impeach Brett Kavanaugh. So, they're not taking yes for an answer.
Well, it's fine. I mean, you know, again, we have a process for this. If the House wants to hold an impeachment vote for Brett Kavanaugh, they can do that all day long. It's a political issue. It's going to be embarrassing. It's going to, like, blow up in their faces. But that's certainly within their power to do so if they take the House. Frankly, I think all of this stuff with Kavanaugh, if anything, actually helped Republicans. You know, I was kind of back and forth on it, like, wasn't sure how this was going to go, but the enthusiasm, I think a lot more Republicans who were kind of just, are now sort of engaged again and saying, oh, no, I'm going to show up at the polls because I'm not putting up with this, like, screechy, helly, like, drama excessiveness that the left keeps forcing down my throat. I mean, people are mad about that. They don't like that, even if they're sympathetic to the underlying issues. I mean, I know a lot of conservatives, I talked to my wife about it, that, like, you know, dealing with sexual assault and giving credibility to people making allegations and letting them be heard, like, that's really important. That's something that a lot of conservatives are saying, yes, we want that. We think that's a good thing. But this, the how, the methods, the screaming and bellicose nature of what we've seen out of the left, that's putting up off a lot of conservatives, and I think they're going to show up at the polls. And I think that there's a, I still think the House probably goes Democrat, but I think there's an increasing chance that it doesn't.
Okay, but part of what you said is important too, because you've mentioned, you didn't say anything about, not saying, I'm not taking it away, but you didn't say, well, you know what, the vitriol, what the Democrats did in the Kavanaugh proceeding will cause independents to swing to the Republicans. That's not the game being played, right? From everything I've heard and looked at, it's really about rallying base. It's making sure the Republicans do show up in the midterms. It's not about this very small percentage of people that have unchanged minds out there. Everybody, like we've talked about, has chosen their team, right? So it's not about changing minds or having somebody say, well, I wasn't sure, but now I'm gonna vote for Republican.
Yeah, I think that you're right. And I think it's the same for Democrats. I mean, the idea of a swing voter, a voter that could be convinced one way or the other. I think both parties have said, well, look, we can put a lot of money into trying to fight for that voter, or we can just spend the money trying to get out the people who already agree with us. And I think Republicans are looking at it and saying, hey, the never Trump types, the skeptics, those folks, like, they're going to do what they're going to do anyway. Doesn't seem like they're going to vote Democrat. But hey, if we can get more of this Trump base, if we can take these two Supreme Court justices and go to the base and say, look, you know, we've changed the legal landscape for a generation. Give us protection. You like this. The economy's going well. A lot of stuff's moving in a positive direction. If that message gets to the base gets fired up and shows up. I mean, I think that's the name of the game here. And then obviously the left is going to say, hey, you hate Trump, right? Trump's the worst, and he hates everything, and so you hate him, so you show up at the polls. That's basically their message.
What happens here if, you know, and it is the normal course of things where the party out of power in the White House does well in the midterms, but what if the Republicans hold on in the House and the Senate, just for talk here, they hold the House by some narrow bar, whatever, but they hold it. What do the next 2 years for Trump policy look like?
Well, I mean, I think, frankly, Trump's shown that he's not super interested in the details.
That's right.
So
yeah.
That's anybody's guess in terms of policy. I think you're going to see a lot more of the regulatory stuff pop up. I do think that there's got to be something that they do about the unfilled civil service positions in the agencies. I mean, imagine a situation in 2020 where you have thousands of unfilled civil service positions in the agencies that can then be filled by a Democratic administration. That's probably not super great. So that's something they need to address. I think the bigger issue is if Republicans hold right now, if they hold in the midterms, hold the House, hold the Senate by whatever margins, Democrats will be heavily demoralized. I mean, the notion that Democrats are heading in a viable direction will be destroyed. I mean, it's the American people don't want to go with you. You had a good deck. You should have been able to take the House. You had the midterm win. You had all this stuff. If you can't do that, you need to go back to the drawing board and scrap everything.
There it is. Cameron Smith, R Street Institute and AL.com. People want to reach out to you, interact with you. How do they do it?
@DCameronSmith on Twitter or AL.com/opinions.
All right, very good. Cameron, thank you, man. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Sean. Bye-bye.
1245 FM Talk 106.5. We'll grab your calls when we get back at 343-0106. Plus those Jim Gaffigan, win them before you can buy them tickets sometime between now and 2 o'clock. Stay close for that. And we'll get an update from Dr. Bill on Michael, which could be a maybe Category 3 hurricane heading into the Florida Panhandle by Wednesday into Thursday.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Have you seen that, the giant mosquito story? I've been pushing this one out here, the Gallinapper story. These giant mosquitoes affecting people in the Carolinas post Hurricane Florence. Hey, welcome back. It's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. We'll talk some Gallinappers here in a second. I do want to give you an update here as hurricane watches up for the Florida Panhandle. Of course, a tropical storm watches up for our area as well. And a small craft advisory in effect. Some pretty big seas from this right here at home. Now, while the storm will end up, it looks like, and that's Dr. Bill and all the pointy heads out there say this thing will go east of our area somewhere along the expanse of the Florida Panhandle coast. In the time being, it's going to come pretty much up towards us before it makes that right turn glide, or at least that little fade to the northeast. And in that period of time, of course, it's going to build up the seas, and it really already has. As we have seas today, they're saying maybe 7 to 10 feet for today, and then as much as I saw something that maybe 10 to 15 by tomorrow or Wednesday. So obviously, if you got no reason to be getting out on the Gulf right now, small craft advisory in effect. So you got a small craft, stay in port. But you probably figured that when you walked out. I walked out in the parking lot earlier here at the station, and it kind of would like blow your hat off kind of thing. So those are just, I don't know if those are coming off of Michael or not, but they are saying, yeah, the wind's increasing 20 to 25 knots today, strengthening through tomorrow. Tropical storm force winds will be possible from Tuesday night through Wednesday. But the things they're pretty sure about, the seas 7 to 10 feet today, building 12 to 15 by late tomorrow in the Gulf. So, yeah, stay in port. All right, coming up next hour, Brendan Kirby's going to join us. Lots to talk about with him. And we'll go back to the Kavanaugh thing. He has an interesting piece out over at LifeZet.com. And the headline is, "Will Kavanaugh confirmation drive women away from the GOP? Not likely." So we'll talk about that with him. Also, some unemployment numbers. That's in the mix as well. And, you know, by the way, just a side theory. Somebody said, what were you talking about, your theory for comedians? You know, I would say this, because somebody, we had gotten a text earlier, why? Here it is. Basically, it's, why don't conservatives have an outlet for political satire? Let me argue this from a market-based opinion. Any kind of mandate to make something that's not there by the marketplace, I think, would be silly. If there's a market for it, then somebody will do it. I mean, there's and I think Cameron said it. I think it's true. Maybe those of us with a more libertarian bent to our conservatism, maybe where the font from that. You look at Greg Gutfeld. I think I find him very funny. Right. So he's. But I mean, to say, hey, we need an outlet for it. No, you don't. You need them. If there's enough of a demand for that, maybe it'll be filled. But I also mentioned the flip side was when they tried liberal talk radio, Air America, and all that, it just did not work. The market was not there, even though you have all these folks that will prop up an MSNBC or will do all these things, CNN, they're not coming to a liberal talk radio format. So, I mean, you understand it's all balanced out. The market, they tried to force it in that case, and it failed. So don't try to force these things. All right. Oh, the Gallinapper story. So here's... When they talk about this, I don't know if you've seen it. They talk about these mosquitoes that are affecting the people in the Carolinas that are so much bigger than your normal mosquitoes. They call them mega mosquitoes, up to 20 times larger than normal, invading the Carolinas. Story says some areas of North Carolina dealing with flooding following Hurricane Florence are also being invaded by some of the largest, most aggressive mosquitoes. These mosquitoes, called gallinippers, we always call them gallinappers, are known for their painful bite and often lay eggs in low-lying damp areas. So number one, first of all, it says they're invading the Carolinas. They're actually there. They're not coming in from elsewhere. They also said that the floodwaters have caused the eggs for such species to hatch. Right. They were already there. They're not invading. Now, here's the one that gets me. I don't know what size mosquitoes they normally have in South Carolina and North Carolina, because it says gallinappers can grow up to 20 times larger than other common mosquitoes and have a sting. Is it a sting? I would call it a bite, right? That is painful enough to feel like you've been stabbed. Really? I'm sorry. I know it's no good, and I feel for those people in the Carolinas, but this story from KRON, seems to be a little over the top. North Carolinians have been posting reports of them on social media in the past week, including an Instagram photo by somebody in North Carolina showing a very large smashed mosquito on their finger. Now, do you have big mosquitoes? Sure. You have, you know, in our area, the folks with the Mobile County Health Department probably can chime in and tell me how many different species of mosquitoes we have. You know, it's way more than one. And those, what we call the tiger mosquitoes down Dolphin Island, those things can get you when the wind stops blowing up. But 20 times larger than normal, and you feel like you've been stabbed, according to the story, when you're stung, they said, by one. So I'm not saying it's a fake news story, but I'm saying that maybe they need to work on it a little more. The mosquitoes, they don't sting you. They bite you. And 20 times the size of... How small are the mosquitoes normally in the Carolinas that they're 20 times the size? All right. I'll put that... maybe I'll put that link up on the Twitter feed right here, and y'all can help me. Maybe even show me a picture of a 20 times larger than normal mosquito. 1257 FM Talk 106.5 on the way. Brendan Kirby is going to join us. Remember, online, fmtalk1065.com. You can also check out the Facebook page and get details there, and the website, and really all our social media platforms. When you go to look for details on the Ultimate Tailgate Contest, you have now till November 15th. Actually, November 15th is too late, because by then we'll have done the drawing. But the Ultimate Tailgate Contest is running now through, let's just say, that second week in November. So you make sure to stop by our participating sponsors, put your name in the registration box once per day, no more than once per day. Don't act right. And then we'll do that drawing coming up earlier in November. I think we'll announce on November 15th, so probably by the 13th, 14th, your names need to be in the registration box. You stop by the Cart Doctor, Old Time Feed, Bailey's TV, Fairhope Brewing Company, Carrot Patch Jewelers. All those places have boxes you'll see with our logo and their logo on them. Walk in, fill out the registration card, put your name in there, and then you're in the running for over $6,000 worth of prizes in the Ultimate Tailgate Prize Giveaway. Details, once again, fmtalk1065.com and our Facebook page. All right, 1258, be right back. Brendan Kirby joins us next. 20 times larger. 20 times. Somebody said, get stabbed by a mosquito with a mosquito knife. Now, there's a good thing.